I want to read today from Jeremiah 29, very famous, well-known scripture. I just really feel that God has a word for us as we enter the new year. Praise Him. Just to set the scene of what's happened here, the children of Israel have been taken into Babylon, and God had said that for 70 years that they were going to be in this place. And really, if I'm going to condense my message as we enter a new year, really I would sort of say to you that if you can just pick up this one thing, and that's the thing that came over, is that even if you're still in Babylon, God wants you to be blessed. It may sound a strange thing to say, but when we read the scriptures, you'll understand where I'm coming from. Even though God's children had been taken away to Babylon, and He had allowed them to go because of their unbelief, because of the stuff that they had done, even while they were in Babylon, He wanted them to be blessed. He wanted them to build houses, to have children, to go on with their lives. Because He'd given them the word that 70 years on He was going to bring them back to the place where they belonged. And it's so easy that when we're in Babylon situations in our hearts, when we feel that God is nowhere around, that we want to almost give up and walk away, that's the time. That's the time to be bountiful before the Lord. And this is where this scripture, we always read the bit about from verse 11 on, but we don't really look a lot about what comes before this. I just want to read you the beginning of this chapter 29. It says, now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, the king and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, the smiths, departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasah, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens, eat their fruit, take wives, beget sons and daughters, and take your wives, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished." You see where I'm coming from now? This is what God said. Go and tell them. While they're in this strange land, captive, took away from their home, in a place that is not the place where God would have them to be, He still wanted them to be blessed. He still wanted them to go on. You know, so often we give up. As Christians, we give up. Something comes across our path and we give up. You know, it's almost we go into Babylon experiences. But I just want to get the message over this morning that even in those situations of our lives, when things are tough and things are difficult and things are hard, God wants blessing for you. You see, that's how much He loves you. That's how much He loves me. But even in our mess, even in the situation we find ourselves in, God says, "I just want you to be blessed. Because one day, I'm going to call you back. And when I call you back, I want you to be bountiful. I want you to bring your children and your cattle and your oxen and the stuff that you've actually built there in this land that's not your own. This land where you've been taken away to. This land that you're probably wailing and moaning about the fact that you're there. You know, I just want you to be bountiful there." And it's really blessed my heart when I read this. So often, just read from verse 11 where it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil." You know, when you put it in the context of what He's saying to this people here, that even though I've allowed you to be taken away because of your sinfulness, because of the stuff that you've done against me, because you worshipped idols, because you wouldn't bow down to me, I have let Nebuchadnezzar, I let him take you away. I've let him wreck Jerusalem. I've let him wreck the temple. And although you're in this land that's not your place, that's not your home, I want you to be blessed. I want you to grow. I want your families to develop. I want you to grow strong in me. And we never look at it like that. So often, as I said, when we're in that place that's not a good place, we cave up, don't we? As you know, the term is, we always use the term that, you know, we at night at the house we cave up. For Phil and Carol, it's a regular occurrence, like, you know, but in their cave house. But we cave up. We everywhere shut up. The fire's on. It's nice and warm, and we just comfort each other, and we don't go and we don't do anything. Because we just, it's like we're just standing there and not doing anything, not actually moving out into anything that God has for us to do. And we can so often just shut ourselves into our little world and not do anything about what God's call is on our lives. And it's so easy to do that. I know, I've been there many times. It says here that you, verse 6, says, give daughters to your to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. See, God doesn't want us to be diminished, even in a place that's not a good place. It's a very strange word, this is, but if you can get the understanding of it, I think it is releasing and breakthrough. There's a breakthrough in this word for every one of us here this morning. You know, even in situations that are not good. You know, I can look on our families over the years and we, with our kids, and we can think, oh, this is not good. But even in those situations, God wants to bless. You know, and we can be sort of protective and things. And sometimes we can just want to protect each other and close the doors and say, what a happy bunch we are. Shut the doors. Don't let anybody else in. We'll just see it out in here. We've got enough food to last us. Enough mince pies and biscuits there probably to last a month. We're okay. Don't worry about the world. You know, God doesn't want this. God wants it out there, touching people's lives. He wants us out there doing something for him. So easy to just shut ourselves in and just feel that we're okay. We're inside the tower. But there's time for the tower, and there's time to go out, and there's time to minister. And verse 7 says, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for its peace, that you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreams. It's very interesting, isn't it? This, you know, that even when we're in the bad place, God calls us to pray for the bad place. To pray for the bad king. To pray for the situations that are happening. Not only to multiply and to be blessed, but also to pray into that situation when we're going through, when stuff's wrong and stuff's difficult and we can't cope. Pray into it. Pray into that stuff. Break through it. Don't let it get on top of you. Pray into it. Pray for the king that does all the wrong stuff for you. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the prime ministers and the countries and the nations we're in. Spain may not be our natural home, but you know, how often do we pray for the Spanish government? How often do we pray for our local government? How often do we pray? You know, and only when somebody mentions it and we do it for a while, you know, and then we forget about it again. But we need to be praying. You know, we may not be, you know, for many, this is, for us older folks these days, this is the land of plenty almost for us, because our pensions go further here and we can manage better here, and to all extents and purposes, this is the place to be. But we struggle with the language and with reaching out and touching the people in this area. You know, pray for the government, pray for the people of this area, pray for those that we can actually make an impact and impact the lives of the people. So not only are we to multiply in Babylon, but we are to pray for Babylon. Although, you know, it seems back to front. This is, we have a back to front God almost that we serve. Because, as Duncan mentioned first of all this morning, meekness and majesty. You know, he's meekness and he's majesty. You know, he is both ends of the scale. Like, he's back to front. He said, let the servant be first. You know, this is our Jesus we're talking about this morning, who wants the servant to be first. You know, if you want to be first in the kingdom, you know, be the servant of all. Praise God. And here he's talking about the prophets in the land. You see, they were prophets. They were telling the people, oh, we're not going to be along. You know, we'll go back soon. Be okay. Cracked it. Like, you know, don't worry about it. And dream good dreams, folks. Like, you know, dream about, yeah, we're going back off to Jerusalem. You know, back to the land, back to our farms and back to our villages. You know, God hadn't said that. God has said, you're going to be here for 70 years. And the prophets were prophesying to suit themselves. And the people were dreaming dreams to suit themselves. And God said, don't listen to these false prophets. Don't listen to the things that are being said. Listen to my word, what my word says. Listen to what Jeremiah is telling you. Listen to the truth. Listen to my word. He said, verse 9, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place, to Jerusalem. You know, we're going to enter a new year and we're going to be having all sorts of stuff coming at us. Whispers, things, people will say things, do things, situations happen. You know, and lots of voices are going to tell us, like, you know, sometimes what we want to hear. What's God saying? What's Father saying in your heart and my heart? What's he saying to you? What's he really saying in our hearts? Is it just something nice that, oh, we've been good, we, you know, cracked it sort of thing? You know, let's be real with a real God who loves us and wants the very best for us, even in the darkest of situations. That's what he wants for us. Let's not be beguiled by good talk, smooth talking and whatever, but let's listen to the truth of his word, the truth of our Jesus this morning. And verse 11, the well-known part, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. And when you read that in context of what's going on in the background, it gives a fuller picture exactly what was happening. But God has said to his people, you know, they were going to be there for 70 years. That's the time. But sometimes God puts times on, you know, times of abundance and times of not so abundant. You know, my call to you for 2015, whether it's of abundance or non-abundance, praise God in the circumstances. Praise him. Whatever comes your way, because he's given you the power to deal with it. He's given you the power and the authority to speak to it, to walk through it, and to be that person he's called you to be. What will your New Year resolution be? You see, God has a plan for each and every one of your lives. He has a plan. God's heart is to bring us back to where we belong. Where we are now is not our final outcome. I'll say that again. Where we are now, today, is not our final outcome. Yeah. I just thought about this. You know, and for some of us, we may feel, well, today's good. Today's okay. Yeah. Whatever, if it's okay or not okay, where we are now is not our final outcome. Yeah. We have so much more available from him. So much more that he wants us to understand. You know, might I suggest that we need only one New Year resolution at midnight this Thursday. And that is, or it's Wednesday rather, and that's to follow after Jesus. We don't need any other resolution besides that, that I would follow after you, Lord. As I said, lots of distractions, I'm not going to say false prophets, but People will want to draw on your life. They will want time from you. They will want you to pull you one way and pull you another way in this year. And that can be like the voice of the false prophets we read about in Jeremiah there. People will just want to call us, detract us from what God wants us to do. Take our eyes off His kingdom. Take our eyes off what the calling that He's placed upon our lives. So easy. You know, husbands can do it to wives, and wives can do it to husbands, and family can do it to us, and we can do it to family. It's all there. With the mix is perfect. The pot, hubble, bubble, toil and trouble is always there. And the opportunity to do things like this is always there. And the people who are going to be sort of calling on us and trying to, and to them quite innocently. But we sometimes listen to the voice of someone, and rather than listening to what the voice of God is saying. Isaiah 55 and verse 11 says that the word that goes forth from God's mouth, this is my praised version of it, the word that goes forth from God's mouth, it shall not return to him void. It will accomplish what God pleases. And we read that in Jeremiah there, the word that he spoke. You know, nothing comes back. If God speaks, then nothing returns void. There is always a reaction to what God's word. There was always an ending to what he says. There is always an answer to what God says. You know, what's he said in your life? I throw the question out. What's he said to you about 2015? What's God laid on you? Perhaps you've not thought about it yet. You know, I just encourage you to think about it. You know, what's 2015 going to bring? What's your hopes and plans? What are your dreams for 2015? You know, just don't leave God out of those dreams and plans, because he's integral to it. You know, what's he spoke to? What's he shared in your heart? You may be carrying something there you've carried for years, never seen it yet happen. You know, maybe this 2015 will be the year. I just encourage you, it could be the year that he's going to call them back to the Jerusalem, call them back, the year of visitation to this his children, saying, time's up now. And, you know, maybe God's not given you a definite timing on these plans in your life, what you're believing for and walking, but seek his face, seek his heart as to what he wants you to do in 2015. May it not be a year where we just like huddle together for safety and comfort, but may it be a year we step out into the wild, take a risk for him, and just trust him. You know, if that's what he's called you to do, if that's what he's spoken to your heart, you know, and you perhaps repressed it for years, may this year, next year be a year, be your breakthrough year, where you step out into that thing that God has spoken to you about, perhaps many years ago. Jeremiah 29, God gives the people a good foundation to build on. He provides a rock, I've written here, in readiness for the rebuilding. And I found a beautiful explanation here in Matthew Henry's commentary. If I can, I can find it. Ah, there it is. Praise God. Yeah, Matthew Henry says this. He said, God gives the people, when we read it in this Jeremiah's day here, God gives them a good foundation to build their hopes upon. It says in here, his words, we would not persuade people to pull down the house they have built upon the sand, but that there is a rock ready for them to rebuild on. You know, sometimes when we can't persuade people to change, to receive Jesus into their lives. You know, we can't make people, help them build a house on shaky ground, on sandy soil. But God has provided a rock, just like he provided for his nation in Babylon. He said, you know, I will be your rock. You know, and for me, as I was preparing for this morning, I just got this wonderful picture of Jesus. For these people, it was Jeremiah who went into the situation and spoke God's word to the people to remind them that the Father was going to bring them back. You know, and for us right now, all these years later, you know, God sends his Son, Jesus, to be our rock. something that we can build on. When they're shaking sand everywhere around, he says, I'll provide you a rock. And it's the only rock we will ever need. You know, after Calvary, it's the only rock that anybody will ever need for the rest of time. You know, no more, you know, would the situation we read about in Jeremiah sort of happen again in the physical, but now we have a rock, Christ Jesus. There's a rock. God promises that rock that we can build on. Secure ground, solid ground. And we read about there in that Jeremiah section there, what God offers. He offered them peace, not evil. He offered them a hope and the future. And I believe that when we realize God's heart for us, we will call on Him. We will pray to Him. And in the word we read there, and He promises to listen. Let me read it from the scripture again. For I know the thoughts I have for you. Let's take it personally this morning. Let's receive this personally as if it was God speaking. Well, it is. He's speaking through His word. But let's take it for ourselves this morning. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I looked at this word here. It says, verse 13, it says, when we search with our whole heart. The Hebrew word darash, meaning to follow after. So when you follow after me with your whole heart, this is going to be your provision. My peace, my hope, my future for you is there. I have a place for you. You see, we see a merciful Father reaching out to His sons and daughters, and what a beautiful picture that is this morning of Jesus and what God will do for us through His Son. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. God's word came in human form. And as John writes in chapter 1, verse 14 of his gospel, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus had come to make a perfect way for my restoration and your restoration and the restoration of your family and your family members, and the restoration of the people in your street and in your village and in your place and around. You know, this is for all. Jesus now had made a way, a connection to the Word, Him. You see, we always think of this as the Word of God, and yes it is, but Jesus is the Word become flesh. You know, when Jesus came, it was like as if this book, as it were, sort of took on human form. Because everything in here is about Him. It's about Him. If it's Old Testament, it's about Him coming. And if it's the New Testament, it's about what He did and the aftermath of what happened when He did come. I just want to just read you something just as I sort of finish off this morning. And that's in the book of Ezra. You have to go backwards for this. But Ezra chapter 8. I just want to briefly... Pat's going to be talking about the fast and prayer next week, but I just want to just share this little thought with you this morning. And this is the outcome after those 70 years. And we see now the people returning to Jerusalem to rebuild the city, rebuild the temple. And there'd already been one lot led by Zerubbabel. And he'd led the first load of people, thousands of them went in the first, and then many, many years later, here was Ezra leading the second lot of people back to Jerusalem. You see, some people didn't want to go. Some people stayed in Babylon because they enjoyed it there. They, you know, their lives changed after 70 years. You know, there's children born and they do their own things, intermarry with the locals and whatever, and suddenly, you know, they've got a TV company up and running and they don't want to leave it and things like that. You know, some people don't want to leave. Some people find Babylon really good, you know, and change. But thousands upon thousands upon thousands of God's people returned. And here was Ezra leading the second return to the city in chapter 8 of Ezra. And I'm not going to read it all, but just as we prepare to come at the beginning of January, just for our fast and prayer time, the two go together. We're not just fasting, it's not about losing weight, it's about seeking God's face, you know, and it's a very personal thing. And it really spoke to me, this did, because here we have the people that we read about in Jeremiah returning back to their place, their home, their villages, their towns, and to with the explicit sort of deal of rebuilding the city, rebuilding the walls. And there was Ezra leading this group of people. He had a letter from the king, you know, and you know, God, you know, and I just thinking to myself, like, you know, because he said there that when Jeremiah went and he said, and not only grow in that land but pray for the people, and there was this foreign king giving them 29 tons of precious silver and gold and metals to take back and to beautify the temple. So this group were carrying with them on their donkeys and whatever and camels 29 tons of provision to make beautiful God's house in Jerusalem. You see, when people pray, God changes the hearts of evil kings and changes them. And it's amazing. And so not only have the king provided for this second group 29 tons of booty to take with them, he'd also offered Ezra, you know, troops, anybody, because they were going to be walking months through the desert with bandit country. And he said, offer them here. Of course, aren't we like Ezra so often? Oh, we don't need any troops, so God's on our side. We'll battle through okay. We're up. We're okay. We're by ourselves. We're okay. We're in the tower. We're all right. You know. And they arrived at the river. And firstly, they found that out of all the thousands that were coming along with them, there were no priests. The priests had all stayed in Babylon. And so he wouldn't move from the river where the gathering point before they set off for Jerusalem. He wouldn't move from there until that was rectified. So he sort of said, you can read it for yourself in Ezra 8. I haven't got time this morning to read it all. But basically, go and read it through when you get home. And read the book, it'll only take you half an hour. And there's this wonderful picture of them all arriving at the river and camped there for 3 days. And basically Ezra just looked through all the papers, all the lists of the families that were with him. Hang about, something's wrong. Where are the priests? No priests. So he sends back. And then they find a good man, a Shemini, I think, something like that. And they come and they make up the priests. And so he's now got his priests, he's now got the people, he's now got the 29 tons of booty to take with him. They arrive at the river, and suddenly, in the cold light of day, he realizes, hang on, we've got several months of walking through bandit country here, laden with booty. And the king says, have some troops. And I said, no, because I don't need them, because God's on our side. The hand of our God, the hand of God comes out so much in Israel. The hand of God is with me. We don't need any other help. Suddenly, they face the desert and the hills and the bandits. Ezra said, we can't leave until we do something here. And verse 12 of Ezra chapter 8, he says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek him from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all of those who forsake him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. and they got through to Jerusalem. You see, he wouldn't move on. While he had everything in place, he had the priests in place, the paper in place, the letter off the king in place, everything in place. Everything was okay for the off. Father, we want you to protect us on the journey. You know, and they wouldn't move from that place until they'd come before God and sought him, sought his face. And my call is for you as a church, as we enter 2015, and Pat will be speaking about this next week, let's not enter it willy-nilly. Let's be focused on him, following him into this year. And I really believe, heart of hearts, that if we enter 2015 in the right way, 2015 will be a breakthrough year for many of us. As individuals and as a church, we're going to see so much amazing stuff happening because we're doing it the right way. Seeking his face, trusting in Jesus, walking with him, just coming before him, looking for him. And he says, if you look for me, you'll find me. You know, and my word of encouragement to you, look for him this year. You know, don't get halfway through the year and say, help, Lord, where were you? And he says, well, where were you? Yeah, I called, I provided, I did this, but you never saw it. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear in your Holy Spirit what you're going to do for us as individuals and this church in 2015. You know, we're going to start with a fast. It's personal. We're not going to dictate to you what you do, but really come before the Lord and seek his face. You know, and I just know that next year is going to be a blessed year for you. May have some difficulties, may have some situations. Oh yes, doesn't promise it, but in those situations, do what they did, do what Jeremiah told the people to do, even in Babylon. Pray, because there's multiplication available in Babylon too. You know, in the dark place, in the difficult place, it's God's there. He doesn't leave you or forsake you. He doesn't hide from you because you're in a difficult situation. He's there if we're looking for him.